Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the After Buzz podcast. My name is Nico Adjimian, your host of the After Buzz, and of course Buzz Adams is with me.
Hello.
And we're back after a little bit of a hiatus. I had to get a bit of a surgery, and Buzz seems kind of confused on what exactly happened. So let me break down what
you've got. Your stomach stapled.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh, okay. Good. But, I hope you lose those 300 pounds you're wanting.
I know. Me and Jelly Roll, we're on the same journey. So essentially, what they did is they created a one-way valve so that like I can eat stuff, but nothing can come up. Not even gas or burps. I can't burp or even vomit at this point.
This honestly sounds like a gastric bypass.
The beginnings of it really are similar, but I can't burp. I can't burp at all. So if I
you
have
can't or you
I
shouldn't.
Can't. No, I can't. I physically, my body can't do it. So if I have anything that creates like bubbles in my stomach, it just sits there and hurts. It just hurts. So I can't drink beer ever again. Really?
Ever again.
Eventually your body does get used to it more, but it's still not. I'm just not going to be drinking.
Well, where there's a will, there's a way, dude.
No, it hurts, dude. Like, honestly, if I eat anything that causes any bit of gas, it hurts. So guess what? Where it all has to go out?
I don't want to know.
The other end.
Okay, exactly. Nobody needed, that's a little more specific than
well,
what I was asking.
This is
for
a professional environment. I thought I'd give a professional description of the surgery, So if you ever see me run out of the room, you know what's going on. Okay. So what do you want to talk about today?
Look at the levels this thing's recording at. I hope that's, look on the screen.
Oh, that's
really
tiny.
Low. I don't know why it's recording so low.
I wonder, so I guess the last time we did an After Buzz with Joanna, it came out like real high pitched.
Somebody complained that it had been pitched up and we sounded kind of like munchkins or something.
I wonder if that was from the player or from me uploading. It's probably from the player, the way it's recorded.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'll listen back to it, but everything sounds fine on this end. Should I check it real quick to make sure
check
it's
it.
Actually?
Yeah, let's just check it real quick.
Okay, we were gone a minute. We checked it out. It all seems to be fine. It
sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
Not on my end if there's a problem.
On today's episode of the AfterBuzz, I have two topics I want to bring up.
Sure.
The first one is, can you look up I want you just to see this thing. It's called a theorbo lute. It's a musical instrument, and it's called a theorbo, theorbo lute.
And theorbo lute?
Yeah, like a, like a
musical instrument?
Okay, look at that first video.
That's the pictures. Goofy looking guitar.
Okay, look at that. What do you think of that? It's basically a giant long-necked guitar.
First of all, it's got part of the neck up here where you cannot reach unless you're Mr. Fantastic.
It's about so long. How tall? That's about 5 feet, maybe?
Yeah, probably 5 feet from the neck to the bottom. To the other end. What about this?
Well, I had an article about the history of it. And it's kind of interesting. It was invented by...
Can I play some theorbo music in the background?
Yeah, I don't think that's copywritten. But it was created by a
guess what?
Musician.
It's not actually music. Oh, here you go. There you go. Also, it's got like 30 strings on it.
That's a lot of
strings. And there's a bunch
of
strings up here that I don't even know how. I would like to see the guy play those strings.
How long do you think it takes to learn that?
Wow, that's crazy, man. That looks so hard.
There's not even chords. How would, are the chords? You can't, the frets, you don't even know. God, that looks.
I'm trying to get, they're not showing the guy's handwriting.
Looks like normal.
He's
guitar.
Playing finger style, but it is a crazy looking instrument.
Yeah,
sure.
You like his fingering?
I think he was fingering a minor. A minor. Sorry. minor.
Stop. It was invented by Alessandro Piccini in the 17th century.
That means the 1600s, right?
The 1600s. It looks, but everybody, even the people who use it, say it looks stupid. Like, it looks daft is the word that gets thrown around the most.
It looks unplayable to me.
The really interesting thing that in reading this article about the Thurobo lute, I learned kind of the history of the guitar itself. And I had no idea.
Well, I'm sure the guitar's been around longer than the Thurobo, hasn't it?
Since Greece. It is a the
well,
guitar.
Greece is not a time. That's
well, since
plague.
Ancient Greece.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right.
The guitar is actually a descendant
of a lute type of instrument.
It was called the Greek kithara with a K. I had no idea, and so I kind of was just like, oh, I guess they're yeah.
Now this looks like the thing you would see like Nero playing while Rome burned or something.
But just add a neck and that's a guitar, right? It's the shape of a guitar.
It looks more like a loom.
It probably went to
like something you would weave with.
It probably went to like Spain from there or something. I don't know. Oh, it's giant too.
That's pretty big, yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. I had no idea that it came from Greece. The other thing I want to talk about is a new development has happened at the CIA. Did you know that the CIA has a sculpture in front of the CIA headquarters? And it's called the Kryptos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of this before. It's never been solved. It apparently, right?
Is that until
the story? No, somebody
has
figured
been
it out.
Solved.
What's
That's
it called?
Right. The Kryptos puzzle. Kryptos spelled with a K, as a matter of fact.
All right.
And it was a sculpture that was put in front of the CIA about 35 years ago. Now, cryptographers broke the first three passages of the sculpture. See there?
So it looks like letters.
It's basically like this wave
letters,
shape
yeah, mm-hmm.
with letters and codes all throughout it. And
there's a message there that you were supposed to try and figure
yes.
out, and nobody had done it until.
So the artist, Jim Sanborn, it's made out of copper. He put it up. And cryptographers have figured out the first three passages of the puzzle. And that was they were broken. The code was broken in the 1990s.
Okay.
But
it was dedicated in 1990.
Yes. But one of the other, the fourth passage, I guess, was just recently broken.
Uh-huh. Well, they haven't even updated it on Wikipedia. Of those four messages, the first three have been solved, while the fourth message remains one of the most famous unsolved codes in the world.
Isn't that fascinating?
But you're saying they've solved the third one?
Fourth one,
fourth
I guess.
One, right.
Yeah.
Fourth one.
Did you ever do that when you were younger? Like, did you come up with a secret language with you and your brother or like a...
Just like numerical letter replacement type of stuff? Like
yeah,
stuff like
that's
that.
Like the... Yeah. That's actually called a Caesar cipher. That's how Caesar used to...
I'll have
them.
The Caesar cipher along with
the
Caesar,
Caesar
salad.
I always thought being a cryptanalyst would be a really cool job
a
until... Cryptographer?
Cryptographer, I guess.
Until I started to play crossword puzzles in the newspaper, and then underneath the crossword puzzles, you know, there's always the word jumble.
The word jumble is a bitch.
I'm terrible at it. I realize
I can do the Sunday crossword in the New York Times, no problem. I always complete it. But those word jumbles, man, I can't even figure out what I'm supposed to do with those.
Yeah, I thought I would be good at it. Not good. What about Wordle? Are you good at the thing where you have to figure out...
I didn't play...
Anagrams and how many words you can make. Not Wordle. What is it?
There are different ones. I've played one before where... Yeah, you try and find the
there's anagrams yeah, in it. Yeah. And you try to make as many words as you can out of this.
Oh, well, then this... The one I played is different than that.
What games would you say you're best at? Like Sudoku, like number type
no.
stuff, or
crossword?
So Sudoku, you don't even try the Sudoku ones.
Uh-uh. No, but I have a decent vocabulary, and I've also worked crosswords long enough. I know some of the tricks.
There's tricks. There's totally some little and common words that they use over
yeah.
and over again.
Yeah, there's some that if they're asking for this, you're like, oh yeah, of course it's. I'm trying to think of one just off the top of my head. They're just different little
because of
tricks
the,
you can learn from doing
crosswords. Vowels and the yeah. certain consonants yeah. that get repeated. Well, this reminded me of some other famous puzzles or cryptography puzzles that have been given out to the public. And when I first heard about this other one called Cicada 3301, I remember being blown away. And apparently,
there were a lot of people
going,
who thought that that was recruitment for some kind of shadowy organization, even more shadowy than the CIA, for instance.
Well, no one knows who's behind it. So basically, an anonymous organization calling itself Cicada 3301, they post elaborate puzzles on the internet that lead solvers through steganography. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's where there's like an online picture, and then inside the picture, somehow there's a code that you have to decode.
I just see a butterfly. So.
Yeah, you'd have to go to like the internet text of it and look through. It all sounds like bullshit to me. But apparently it's not. Nobody knows who's behind it. And theories include, like you said, intelligence agencies using it as a recruitment tool. Like, eventually, if you solve it, it will send you to like the application for
but
the...
But that, is that true?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Hello. We are looking for highly intelligent individuals. To find them, we have devised a test.
They put that message on the Cicada.
The group put
3301
that out there.
Logo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, that sounds like a challenge. Anybody's like, well, I'm highly intelligent. I'll do this.
Absolutely, yeah. And
what happened?
Apparently, it's still going to this day that they release new puzzles every year.
Speculation is that the puzzles are a recruitment tool for NSA, CIA, MI6, or a Masonic conspiracy.
Of course, yeah, you got to throw the Freemasons in there. No good conspiracy.
Okay.
Doesn't have the Freemasons in there. But then that reminded me of one we've already talked about on air, which is, or on the AfterBuzz, which is the Voynich manuscript.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Which
I think somebody got high
as balls.
Right. And they like took some kind of, not just like weed, I'm talking like a hallucinogenic, and then started doodling, man. That's the only thing I could figure.
If you're not familiar,
it's got plants that don't exist.
A handwritten, lavishly illustrated manuscript.
Illuminated manuscript, I believe.
In an unknown language filled with strange plants, astronomical diagrams, and naked figures. And if you think, oh, well, this was probably just something that was made, you know, a couple years ago, a couple hundred years ago. No, this was
no,
made.
They've been wondering about it for hundreds
since
of years.
The 1400s. Or as late as the late 1300s. Still, nobody's cracked it. Nobody knows.
Could it just be somebody? I mean, it's possible that somebody in 1400 something was like I'm just going to fuck with
did
people.
Their own hoax, like a 1400s hoax? Sure.
This is going to take a few hundred years to pay off, but folks are really going to be
this is the longest payoff ever. None of those plants, that's a weird fucking plant. That's an alien plant for all I know.
I mean, I'm not a botanist, so I don't know.
What do you think of the theory that it's just aliens, that somebody interacted with aliens and that's like their writing of their interaction with them?
Well, there is writing that looks like it's in a language that somebody could decipher.
And nobody can figure it out for some reason.
Those look like pot leaves right there. I'm going to tell you the truth right now.
Then that reminded me of another one.
Oh, boy.
The Zodiac Killer ciphers. Remember those?
David Fincher movie.
So the Zodiac Killer sent letters to newspapers. I assume to brag, because, you know, serial killers, big ego on them. I assume he wanted to
brag. Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I loved it. The one with the Hulk. And
Mark Ruffalo?
I think Robert Downey Jr. was in that, too.
He was.
Yeah. And who directed that?
David Fincher.
David Fincher, yeah. So he sent letters to the newspapers that had these puzzles in them, these cryptograms.
I think in the movie, though, or maybe this was not in the movie. Maybe it was because sometimes if I'm really interested, I'll go online and try and learn more about the movie. There are a lot of people who think this wasn't sent by the killer. This was just sent
by some random dude?
Some prankster.
Apparently they did solve some of them, and some of them have pointed to details about the murders.
Oh, okay.
But there's still some that are unsolved.
Well, I think when you're solving a cipher or something like that, you got to be careful that it's not a Rorschach test. You know, like, you're just going to
see what you want.
Yeah, because you're trying to solve this thing.
Any other puzzles you thought of, you can think of?
I couldn't even think of those, man, until you brought them up. I'd forgotten all about the Voynich manuscript.
I find them fascinating, like codes and puzzles.
The Piri-Reis map, have you ever heard of that one?
No, what's that about?
So the Piri-Reis map is ancient, I believe, and it shows what appears to be the coastline of Antarctica and different things that they would not have had any idea about back in the day. I'm only half remembering the details of this thing, but...
Ooh, one of the greatest historical cartographic mysteries.
There you go. There you go. So I did contribute to this episode.
You did. The Piri-Reis map, P-I-R-I space R-E-I-S, map puzzle, was drawn in 1513 by an Ottoman admiral and cartographer named Ahmed Muhyiddini Piri. Mm-hmm. It wasn't discovered till the last century in the 1900s. And it was painted on gazelle skin parchment, showing parts of Europe, North Africa, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Americas. Only one third of the original map survives. How did they?
Wait. So 1531. Well,
how did they show the Antarctic coastline then? The map seems to depict the northern coast of Antarctica without ice, showing mountain ranges and rivers. But Antarctica was not discovered till 300 years later.
Yeah, man, I don't know. That's why they call it a mystery.
Some theories say that the map may have been based on, like, ancient source maps. Like, maybe... Oh, look at that shit.
I'm trying to make... I'm trying to get my bearings here. What am I looking at? Like, is that Africa?
No, I think that's... Okay, yeah, I think that's Africa, and that's North America.
Well, I mean, North America would have been known about by 1531.
It would have been known about, but fully mapped?
No.
Like that, and then that has a below North America, that looks like Antarctica.
I'm looking for the dragons.
The accuracy of South America's eastern coast. The depiction of Brazil's coastline at the Amazon River's mouth is shockingly precise for 1513.
Wow. I think I'm seeing what they're talking about here.
It appears to correct errors that European maps of the era still had. Well, this
dude, I don't know, maybe there was some Mozart of maps that, you know,
in his
actually did chart out some of this stuff. Oh, this is a breakdown of what it's supposed to be representing. It's an incomplete, obviously, but it shows
it's
the coastline
bad.
Of Africa, which you would think in 1531 they'd have an idea about that. Europe.
The Azores.
Oh, but it's only showing the coast. It's like whoever drew this map didn't know that if you went inland, there's
enough.
More stuff.
He's like, whoa, that's beyond.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Apparently, in his own maps, he had notes. Piri-Reis says that he used maps by Columbus, that he used sailor maps, and maps drawn in the time of Alexander the Great.
They got pictures of different animals, including, it looks like, a baboon with a bright red ass eating an apple.
Yeah, but he's, like, sitting, like, politely.
Yeah, and this guy looks like a human with his face in his torso, which I've heard of that before.
Some suggestions are that he used maps from a pre-Ice Age civilization.
Okay. All right, sure.
That had advanced geography skills.
Right.
Often linked to Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're losing me there as soon as you start talking about Atlantis. But
there's the ice-free Antarctica hypothesis.
What's that?
Well, it argues the map shows Antarctica before it was covered in ice, implying...
That would have been millions of years
implying
ago,
it's based on very ancient geographical records.
Geologically ancient.
Most historians say that the Antarctica part is actually just a distorted extension of South America.
Okay.
Due to the limitations of how the mapping could be made and compass errors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, that's my contribution to the show.
Well, I think that's fascinating. I don't know if there's any others that our listeners want to point out, but puzzles. Yeah. Down for them. Let's talk more about puzzles. You can always leave us a neckline call at
521-NECK, 521-6325.
And... You can always talk to us live
at 915-910-4995.
All right. I think that's going to do it for today's After Buzz podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLEQ, El Paso's best rock. Talk to you all next time.